Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Marco.
Marco Bill.
Hey, buddy.
And,
how are you?
Let's see. We got who we got on tonight? We got Keith from Georgia. We got Doyle. We got Roger Peterson. And we have our good buddy. Let's see. Well, oh, I got the number wrong. Maybe. Oh, well, we got Rocky.
Yep.
And so far, that's it. Some of the other guys are going to be dialing in. They're a little late. But what I wanted to do, though, is I just wanted to tell everybody tonight that, you know, I got somebody that I really admire a lot. And he's been real. I mean, he never lets up. You guys know him. You've been with him. TJ. T.J.
Yeah.
Biscardi, and he's been the guy that's, you know, when you guys are out in the field anywhere, you know, I don't know if anybody knows this, he's had the flu here now for about 3 weeks, and I mean really bad, and he actually went to the hospital the other day, and and he'll never let up. He comes on the show tonight just to be with us to keep things going. How are you, TJ?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you, buddy? How's everybody out there? We're live. We're good. You know, thank you for that, Marco. But the show must go on. Is that how it works?
Well, yeah, but just think, you know, you're a little extra special on a lot of things that you do. And
yeah.
Not just in the field, not just as a field researcher, but just your own personality. It must be the ranger in you, buddy.
You know, never give up, and never let up. Never surrender. Marco, it makes it hard. But, you know, thank you, Marco. I appreciate it very, very much. You know,
if you don't mind, what I'm going to try to do is I know you're having a hard time talking, so just, and you can jump in anytime you want, but what I'll do is I'll just kind of lead it off, if you don't mind, and
I don't mind.
Okay, buddy. We got Roger Peterson and Keith tonight here to really go through some. Keith didn't finish up last week. Actually, he didn't finish up 2 weeks. And we got Roger. We want to go through Roger and do that. So I thought we would start out with Keith. And Keith, Roger, Doyle, and Rocky, how are you guys?
Good.
All right.
Doing good.
Doyle,
how are you?
Doyle.
Hey, Keith. Hey, Roger. Hey, Rocky. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Hey, DJ. We improvise and we overcome.
Yes, we do. Sometimes we adapt. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I was with Rangers for a while, and then I went 101st.
Hoo-ah.
Yeah, you bet. Hoo-ah, brother.
You know,
well, let me tell you, every time
Marco.
I go to the toilet, I launch another submarine.
Oh my God.
Hey Keith, how are you tonight?
Hey man. All right, how about you?
I am doing great. What I'll do is start out the conversations, and what I'd like to do is, as we're going along here, if there is some kind of a question, so we're going to have an area or a time in here where we'll have, you know, ask questions of different things that, you know, we were talking about. And
right.
Feel free, I'll open it up. I'll open the mic up for everybody so you can jump in and ask the questions you want to ask. And
Yes. I'm trying to listen to what these other guys are finding in their areas. I'm just kind of soaking it all in.
Oh, no, that's okay, too. I just want to let everybody know that I'll let everybody know they can open it up or whatever for certain at different
right.
times. We don't want to do it all the time because then then you can't do anything. Nobody.
I got you.
Why don't you start out? Tell us what you've been doing and what's going on in your area. Now you've been doing some more recent researches as well, correct?
Right. One of my areas closer to my house, they've actually started clear cutting on one side of a power line cut through, which seemed to have impacted them a good bit. They've moved. There's still a few in that area, but the majority of them have moved. We're trying to figure out which way they went, but we've had a lot of activity ramping up since we've had this warm spell come through. We've got a lot of activity lately.
Is there a lot of different signs around there as well?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
What kind of signs are
you? More signs. They're starting to build. We found several new hides that they've built. And what we're slowly putting together on these things is we've been falling a little small. It's not like large tree breaks, but small ones. And if you follow these things, if you watch, it's almost like a line of sight through the woods. And they'll end just short of a conglomeration of limbs and logs and stuff like that, they have piled up to create hides. And I don't know if this is for a viewing vantage point or if it's for hunting. You know, they're ambush predators. And I don't know if this is, you know, just giving the other ones indication, look, you're getting close to where I'm holed up, you know, run a deer this way or what have you. But we're starting to see more and more of that.
Oh, man. It's are there now you've got lots of different tree configurations and things like that that's happened as well.
Absolutely.
Footprints of any degree, or it's kind of a hard area to get footprints?
It is. It's a real leafy area in a lot of places, and we've got a what we have found is we've been trying to figure out how they're circumventing these areas where they would leave prints. And what we have found, there's a creek that cuts through the property, and this creek at its deepest point, it's almost like a miniature Grand Canyon. I'll email you some pictures. But this creek is like 15, 16 feet deep in places, and they're getting down this creek, and they're crossing across all this forest in that creek undetected because they're getting down that little canyon, so to speak, and they're crossing up that creek, and they're not leaving any prints in that stream.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh,
now, how about any side of the bank of the creek? Anything?
Yeah. We found places that they have almost like an alligator wallow where they have wallowed out, you know, places going in and out of that deep creek.
Yeah.
And we've got some slide marks. We've got a couple of handprints, some good toe digs where they're digging in with their toes.
Yeah. What's the consistency of the soil around that area? Is it clay kind of soil, or is it a soft?
It's in the area where we're at in Lee County, like I said, it's a lot of leaf on the ground, but you know, it's kind of a hard packed soil. In some areas there's some clay. Most of it's like a real hard packed, almost like a red dirt type soil. You know, a lot of gravel and
sand,
rock in
sand
it. Yeah.
Impacted with clay, it makes a real hardcore thing, real hard pan.
Yeah. Now, some of the bigger guys, you know, like I think I emailed you a couple of pictures where they were so heavy, they just left impressions where they stood there. You know, it's kind of like they just packed the soil down.
I've seen that before on several different occasions where the weight was, I mean, you can stand there right next to where the print was and not make an impression in the soil.
No, not make a dent. What's really neat is I got a picture of a huge adult set of prints, and right in between them is a juvenile print, right in between the left and right foot of a huge adult, and even the juvenile left an impression in the ground.
Oh, God. Man.
Yeah.
Now, have you had visual sightings?
Oh, yeah. We had one. We went out 2 days ago, and we had a charcoal gray color one. We were actually moving an apple camera trap where we had suspended a bag of apples with some nylon rope where they can't utilize trees to get to it. And I thought I caught movement out of the corner of my eye, and I kind of – you got to look without letting them know that you're looking. And I kind of meandered on down a little fellow from the group, and I was trying to look out the corner of my eye, and I had a – nice Canon camera with me, and I spun it around and flipped the little display out where I could see it but not be looking in that direction. And one of the team members' wives was standing right behind me, and I signaled to her husband where he was at, and him and his son cut in at an angle toward him. And this thing, it didn't know what to do because it was kind of stuck. It only had one way to go, and it waited to the last possible minute, and when it stood up and turned and ran, she got to see it on the camera. And, I mean, that was the best thing in the world for her. I mean, it's kind of like a bunch of kids on a roller coaster at Six Flags when she hollered. I mean, it just blew her away because it, up to that point, she thought it was all just fun and games.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an eye-opener right there, I bet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, that thing, that particular one, it followed us probably another 2 hours until we got ready to leave, and it followed us back out. He was a very, very curious individual.
Wow.
It sounds to me like he was the alpha male.
Keith, what I got is a question about, you know, you're talking about some different types of creatures. In other words, their body shapes are different, the hair color is different. What differences are there of the different ones that you've seen in your area there?
It's such a wide variety. Like, I have a picture of an older one, and you can tell he's old just by the way he's built. He looks almost thin to a point, but he actually, the top of his head where the skull comes up to the point is actually like, it's bald, like he's got male pattern baldness. No joke. I'll email you a picture of it. We got him on trail cam. We'd put a tent out in the middle of their habitat just to get him used to it, and he's standing in the back. You can tell he's leaned over looking at that tent trying to figure out what it is, and trail cam caught it. But we've got him from that to we've got a younger one laying on the ground behind a tree looking at another trail cam, and his hair has got a green tint from the achromatic hair. And huge eyes. I mean, this thing has a massive set of eyes on him. But we got females that are bigger than males in this area. I mean, they're just all shapes and sizes. We're starting to see different, like, stripes and modeling of the color on their hair. I mean, it's not just a ginger color, or they're black, or they're silver.
Some of these matted, kind of a matted hair? You know, like a matting on a dog or something? You know what I'm talking about? The matting?
Most of them look quite well kept, actually. I mean, we've never really seen any that look just, you know, like it'd been living in the woods. Actually, like it'd been living in a zoo or something. Their hair is very well kept, to be honest.
Oh, gosh, that's pretty neat. Well, the reason I ask you these questions is because I'm just going over the different things that I've seen through, 15 years or so, and from different people and what they've presented and what they've described. And many of them are the same. But one of the things that you brought out is you said the smaller creature was green hair, kind of like.
Right. It's whatever their hair actually reflects whatever color light is most ambient around them, so to speak. And,
I've seen that before. And as a matter of fact, of course, it was in an area where they had a lot of green forest. And it just kind of blends in with the...
we blend in.
We've termed it reactive camouflage.
Go ahead.
They do blend in because they have what is known as a translucent layer of
hair. Achromatic.
It will actually bounces back the color of whatever's around them. So you're looking at them, and one minute they turn a certain way, and they're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, people say, "Well, why don't more people see them?" More people do see them, but their mind and their eyes aren't trained to understand what they're seeing when they look at them.
Exactly.
Well, what I'd like to explain to you is a couple of things. I have some pictures, and we've had the pictures analyzed, and we had them worked over because, in other words, it's not making the picture different. But what you have to do is you have to pixelize. The pixels are so almost the same. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
The creature is actually hidden, and it blends right in with. And this is in Arizona with in the rocks. Okay.
Yes.
This is where this picture was. Yeah. In Arizona in the rocks, and what it was a picture of a female and with a baby on his shoulders.
Yeah.
When you looked at the original picture, you would not be able to determine. You can see little parts of the baby's limbs, right? Arm and leg. And you can see the mother outlined just absolutely perfectly. But in order to bring it out, it was sitting behind a whole bunch of twigs. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, dry brush. I don't know I guess that's the kind of bushes they have in Arizona. And it was hiding in that where the trees, small tree, were sticking out of the side of the cliff, and it was sitting on a ledge of a rock. and his legs were hanging down. And what we did is we took the pixels and all the pixels of the same color. And, you know, when you have Photoshop or one of these things, they can they won't blend the different colors in. They isolate them, right? And we made them a little darker, and it stood out just like, I mean, just like, oh, man, it just stood out so clear. And
what we're trying to figure out is with a lot of them, we're trying to figure out if they have any control over this camouflaging method, because, like, I have pictures of some that are just plain as day gray or silver or ginger with different stripes and stuff on them, but then when they're trying to hide, it's a whole different, you don't see any striping, you don't see any charcoal, any gray, anything like that. You really have to look and get your eyes trained to look for a fuzzy looking bush, more or less.
Well, it's just like
when you're hunting deer. Okay? A deer can be 10 foot from you and you'll never see it. And it's the same thing with these Sasquatch. I mean, they know how to blend in with the terrain. And
that's not
what
you're
looking
for.
I've been out deer hunting, and I don't know if you've ever seen a deer go through 4 inches of grass without being noticed or seen. But what they do is they get on their stomach, and their legs are stretched out, and they crawl. And they can crawl through the smallest grass, and you won't be able to see them.
You wouldn't think a deer could do that, but they can.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was on a knoll looking down, and you get the vertical view, it's unbelievable when you see it. But the creatures, the very same thing.
I've seen finger crawlers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the crawling thing is like a big spider.
Yeah. Well, what kind of what makes me infatuated about the whole thing is how well these things can blend in to different backgrounds. Trees, you know, where it's brown.
They're kind of like a chameleon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And they can blend in like that. Now, deer do the very same thing. However, they can't, you know, I mean, you know, I've been out where they snuck up behind me and scared the hell out of me.
Cameras
now, we've had some issues on the cameras over the years here. One of them is we think that they do have maybe a range of infrared in their, you know, evening, because they're a nocturnal creature.
Take a sample of that translucent hair and hit it with infrared and watch what happens.
Hey, Marco, I got to jump in here for a second. Hold on.
Well, you go right ahead there, buddy.
Roger and Keith, I'm listening, and I'm trying to picture as a listener, when you talk about translucent hair and Roger speaking of the chameleon thing, either one of you, what do you guys try to explain in layman's terms?
The best way to describe it is almost like a mirror that can reflect any direction that it wants to.
That's it.
It'll take, like sunlight, our eyes, the only way we see anything, we see reflected light that bounces off whatever's in front of us. And our brain, when it sees that, it, you know, we see the color, the shape, and all that. When these things are holed up somewhere, whatever color, so the sunlight comes down, hits the green leaves around this creature, that green light bounces off the leaves, hits them, and then their hair actually redirects that same green light to your eyes instead of putting its own color out.
So are you saying that they can be, if they were standing next to a blue background, they would turn blue?
Their hair would actually reflect a blue tint, yes.
So they would disappear.
Right.
Yep.
We've coined it reactive camouflage here.
Reactive.
Well, you know, that might explain some of the pictures that I have. I never release these to anybody, because a guy from Michigan works with bears and stuff out there, and he had a whole bunch of activity going on a few years back, and he sent me some pictures, and of course the pictures were, I mean, like he said they were cloaked,
yeah,
and all
exactly.
those kinds of things. And that's more or less on the, you know, on the disappearing side of things. And I don't necessarily agree. I don't necessarily.
So Roger,
that's not one of my. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you saying? I hear what Keith is saying, Roger. Are you saying the same thing, or is that these creatures have like the, I can't explain it another way, but I'm thinking Star Trek, and I think of the Klingons and how they.
Yeah, it's like a cloaking device for them. Remember with the last time that we went to Pat Mays Lake, and Rex and I had that Bigfoot come up on us, and then it all of a sudden disappeared? Remember that?
Yeah,
I'm talking about. And I mean, one minute you'll see them, and they turn a different way. It reflects the light off of them different, and they're gone. You
so
know,
that
it's like a cloaking device.
Keith, you're concurring with what Roger's saying, correct?
Absolutely, 100%. Nature has evolved these things to a point to where, to be an ambush predator, which that is what they are, nature has given them every tool they need to survive and hunt. And that's one of the many tools in their arsenal.
That makes sense.
Yes, sir.
That makes
sense. I agree
with
you, Keith.
That makes me understand a little clearer.
Yeah.
Because I don't necessarily believe in, you know, when they say cloaking in one sense, that was like they can disappear, kind of like, you know, in an envelope. You know, like
right.
the old
Look,
disappear
Marco,
and reappear.
Let me tell
and,
you something.
But this makes more sense on is this is still a physical creature. And,
yes, sir.
And
our government
using
is working
the
on the same
certain aspects
thing.
Of its hair. And
that's
and,
why
you know, basically is a, you know,
what
is a...
That's one of the reasons the military
our government is working on the same type of thing to have our soldiers that can do it with a cloaking device thing.
That's why the military is so interested in these things.
That right
well,
now.
No, they actually have. They have. Okay, I can tell you right now. Japanese, the British, several of them in the last few years, last 10 years, they've had different aspects of being able to electronically. Okay, but electronically
disappear.
Why do you know
right?
this, Roger?
Yes, sir.
Tell them why, Marco Bill.
Well, I know it because I read the article. In Scientific Magazine on
and
it, and what their progress they were making on it. And but it's not something that you can. I mean, we don't have it to where you can just go out there and do it. It has to be done in a. You know, with a bunch of other stuff in it, but it works.
Right.
What it does is it's just the first. It just what it does is it the electromagnetic and the light basically are hidden and makes your eyes when your eyes are looking at it. You know, you can't see it. It's like invisible, but it's there.
Yep.
Right.
These are just articles I read, you know, but this is a little different. I mean, because, you know, obviously they don't have electronics or anything. This must be a natural kind of a.
Can explain it to the layman's terms. When I was in the military, they were working on a suit that we would wear. On the back side of the suit, it would film with all the cameras. There was millions of cameras on the back of the suit. And it would film what was behind us. It would display it on the front of the suit. So, for example, if you had a sheet, the back side of the sheet would be a gazillion cameras filming all the background behind you. And what was being shown on the front of the camera which was the screen like a movie camera, I mean, you're behind it now, but you're wearing it, would be filming behind you, showing it on the front of you. It was a form of camouflage. I have no idea if they're still doing it, if they perfected it, but I'm hearing what you guys are saying, and it could be natural, because most things that we make nowadays, you know, are something that we've seen in natural surroundings, the trees, the chameleons. How does a chameleon, you know, change its colors to something, you know? And I'm understanding now what Roger and Keith have been talking about. They might be the progress in how we were doing that 30 years ago.
Yeah. what it is, I mean, in a scientific aspect of things, they use all kinds of different equipment and electronics to and, you know, high-tech stuff to make the images. It's not really disappeared, but what it is just like you said, is they've taken the background and put it in the foreground, and that's what people see, is the foreground.
Yeah.
Or the background. I mean, they don't see the foreground. You're hidden in that.
You're hidden in that envelope.
Yeah, and they've been doing some experimenting with the British tanks and a couple other things that they were screwing around with. I don't have any. I mean, I haven't kept up with it. This is a couple of years ago when I read all these articles, but it was pretty interesting. But now, what really interests me right now, though, what piqued me up on this is. These creatures would have the ability to, in other words, naturally, their hair or skin or whatever can make that, you know, help make them not disappear, but
blend in.
And through the light that our eyes would not be able to see it. And that's a very easy thing to do.
Now, what I would notice, Marco, is this camouflaging thing, from what we have seen and from our pictures we've taken, any kind of, like, skin, like their hands, they almost look like a granite. And I got doing a little studying on that, and there's actually a lot of Indians call them stone giants because of their skin looking like that. But we've noticed a lot of pictures where they're cloaked, like their fingernails, they won't cloak. Their hands are usually like a granite gray color. It's usually just their hair, and it is hair. It's not fur. It's a hair. But it doesn't seem to work on like fingernails, and you would think that it would because, but you know, your fingernails are basically the same as your hair. But you know, it doesn't work on that or their hands. Their eyes will give them away if you know what to look for. Once you train your mind and your eyes what to look for. They're all over the place. There's more. There's way more of them out there than what people realize. There's a lot of them.
Rocky, what do you think?
There sure are.
I haven't even heard your voice yet, buddy.
Oh, I was sitting and listening. I'm okay with.
Well, you have an opinion.
The,
I mean,
I believe in all the animals having. Natural camouflage as far as the reflective stuff and all that. That's for somebody else. I'm not seeing it. But you know, I can go along with the natural camouflage, just like you're talking about the deer. The deer is, you know, it's camouflaged in with its colors and, stealth. And all of that, I mean, there's no magic or nothing involved there. And, you know, a bear, you know, like a black bear, they can be any color. Anything from blonde up to black. And, you know, they blend. They blend. I'm really not seeing the being able to turn blue and green and all that. I just can't.
The only thing I seen was green. I did see a couple of pictures where it was green. And what they were infants, not infants, but, you know, the juveniles. And they were laying in the grass next to a wooded area which had a lot of green trees. And you could see the outline. And I just didn't believe it. I mean, so how in the hell can it be green, you know? It must have.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's one of those things I can see. I mean, there's a picture of me out in the woods, and everything around me is, for some reason, the camera took a picture where most everything was red, and I was red too.
Oh,
but,
gosh.
Now, that was just that was bad film or something like that. I don't know. I can go along with all the natural aspects, but.
Right.
You know, I've seen all the stuff that the military is trying and all that, and it's not working perfect. It's better, but they're still working on just, you know, plain old camouflage that'll trick the eye. And,
well, that is the main thrust of, I mean, for ships, for everything. As what paint colors they use on the ship. Now, I'm pretty familiar with that. I got into the, you know, on submarines and other things, you have to camouflage your masts and the other parts of the ship, of the submarine, so that when you're looking at it in a normal view, you're not going to be able to see it. Or it's going to be harder to see, let's say that, okay?
Right.
You're not completely invisible, but it's just your eyes play tricks on different patches of colors. And of course, also, you know, TJ was saying, you know, the uniforms and things that they've been working on, they use different things. You know, the ones for the desert are completely different than the ones for, you know, when you're in the jungle and things.
Well, you know, I've got that one old camo poncho, and, you know, I had Dennis, that friend of mine, came looking for me through the woods, and he was within 15 feet of me, and he didn't know I was there until I spoke, and then, it scared the crap out of him, but, you know, I was just a little bit behind a bush, and I was wearing some of the newer type camo, and which is, you know, it's not leafy or anything. It's just it's kind of like blocks, but it has, you know, odd patterns, but rabbits, all of that. They all have their natural camo, and that's what I deal with. I mean, I really can't see all the other stuff.
I understand. The reason it was raising so many questions with me, you guys, is this. I got some pictures that people sent me, you know, years ago. Some are from, one place was from New York, another place was from Michigan. And another place was not Arkansas, but where the hell was it? Louisiana, I think. And I had all these pictures, and people are talking cloaking and disappearing and all this stuff, right? Well, I'm not into that. I'm not necessarily into that. I mean, I'm not saying that it couldn't be true, but I'm just saying I'm not into that. That's not my. My approach. My approach is the same as the teacher. It's a physical creature. So I thought, well, what the hell can this do? The camera. Now the camera can do all kinds of stuff when you take pictures that are all screwed up. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Depends what kind of camera, what kind of film, all this other stuff. The light, all that stuff can really play all kinds of havoc on different things. But I had these pictures. And I know they weren't, you know, doctored or anything. They were just the way they got them. They sent them to me. And there were a couple in there where you could see it was a different kind of thing. I mean, it wasn't cloaked. I mean, in other words, it wasn't completely disappeared. but it wasn't the same kind of creature that you've seen in a picture before when it was, I guess they took infrared or something, and then they took the regular picture, right? And it was really amazing. But then I wasn't sure how to approach that. You know what I mean? I mean, what does it mean, you know, when you see that? And then was it real or was it just the camera? But now I can see where it could not be. It could be just a physical thing.
I have seen mountain lions that didn't blend in with their surroundings, but I mean their color didn't. But you know, you see one stalking something, it's all hunched up, and you're a little ways away. And, you know, what you see is a bunch of rocks until it moves. And then you realize that the rocks was just a mountain lion. I've seen the same thing with, you know, coyotes and stuff like that. They don't necessarily blend in, but just the fact that they're still, they're looking, they're well, you know, they're stalking. And, you know, stalking sometimes man has to just sit still.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think I ought to do? I got all these pictures. Some of them never released. And some of the people that gave them to me didn't give me their permission to release them. They gave it for my own, you know, observation, right?
Right.
So I got to be careful. And I got to go back to them. But what I'd like to be able to do is to show all those pictures to everybody, put them on a damn web page or something where everybody could take a look at them. I don't want everybody to take pot shots and, you know, tell me how screwed up it is or that. But they're pictures that people sent, and some of them have some value to them. The ones from Arizona were absolutely, I just could not believe that creature could be so close, the fur, everything, so close to the rock color. You know, it's kind of light,
they
brown.
They blend very well.
Yeah. And you could not, had it not been for using the pixel alignment, you know, or redoing the pixels, I mean, it just stood out like a sore thumb then. I mean, you could see every feature, everything. And, you know, they blended so that the branches, they made the branches a branch different color, right?
Uh-huh.
And now you can see the creature behind the branches and all that. And it was, I mean, it was really neat. And there's several others where they're sitting in rock piles and things. And so, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things. But, Keith, you know, you've got some, now I understand, you brought to light a couple of things that made me want to rethink all this and take a look at it again. But I'd like to be able to put these up so you guys could all look at them. Everybody can look at them and, you know, just take a look and see what it looks like. And it doesn't mean that, you know, what I have is absolutely, I mean, you don't know, you know, you just don't know. But when you see the features and stuff that you can see, it really makes your mind want to question a lot of different things.
Right. Well, I mean, that's why it takes more than just sitting behind a computer to, you know, to figure these things out. And right now, me and my guys, that's all we've been collecting data. That's all we've been building a profile on our target, so to speak. You're not going to go in the woods and hunt these things like you do a deer or a bear or a hog. It's not happening. You know, you're not going to do that.
Some of the things that I have, I have hundreds of tree formations, and if you look, and they're from all different parts of the country, and if you look at these things, then when you look at all the different ones that come from different places but are the same, do you
it's
know what
language.
I mean now? The tree formations that they made are all similar kind of communications, if you want to call it that, or whatever, however they lay them out. You know what I'm talking about with the trees and stuff?
Yep.
I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. And so I kept all these. I still have them. And I probably need to go up there and take some of these out and post them so people could see them. Make a library of different tree formations, make a library of different creatures. that were photographed.
But, you know what you look for, Marco? They will tell on themselves. They will give themselves away once you learn what to look for. But now they will adapt. And once you come up with a strategy, they watch you and they learn what you're doing, and they will adapt their methods to circumvent whatever strategy you've come up with. They've done it to us two or three times. These things are highly intelligent.
Oh, no, I would agree with that. I know they're intelligent. If they weren't intelligent, they would never have survived.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing some of the things they do, like, you know, them figuring out to get up in a tree and throw stuff at apples on top of deer feeders and knock them off until they'll roll down the hill to where they can get them without having their picture taken, you know. Like, we've experienced that. It's just, you know, we've had them come up. We assumed it was one of them come up behind a trail cam, and all of a sudden the trail cam, we see it move, it goes black, and then next thing you know, it's working again, and all the apples in front of it are gone.
Yeah. Now, you sent me a text, Keith, I think, and you're asking you wanted to do an expedition from the field type of thing.
Right. Yeah, me and my guy's been trying to work out the logistics of that.
Well, what you were asking is if we could, you know, do it on a show from the field, and we can do that.
Right.
I mean, we certainly can do that. I got to talk with TJ and make sure we got everything set right. Everything's okay. We
got
to be careful of is we have to be very careful about what we do on anything that we have because of the, you know, we're a corporation and we're on Wall Street. So anything that has to do with the SEC, we got to be real careful about how we we do. So I got to get permission to do all that. We probably work something out.
You got
to
watch what you say and what you do. Big Brother's listening.
Well, yeah, it's legal stuff, okay?
It's
the feasibility of somebody being able to litigate against your company. And it's not just me. I mean, it's the company, which is a whole bunch of other things that are going on. And so we've got to be careful.
Yeah, we were talking here one night about the people who can't, for, you know, whatever, you know, whether it be a handicap or monetary, you know, there's some people that just, they can't get out there, but they want to be a part of it. We thought, you know, it would be something for them to experience to see what we go through out there at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, in the morning in the freezing cold temperatures or blistering weather and having trees and rocks thrown at us and the tree knocked. You know, let the audience experience that, the ones that can't do it.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. You know, we've had some from the field experiences in the past, they worked out pretty good. I mean, TJ, I don't remember back in the Paris, Texas time where right in the middle of the show we got this.
Yep, I remember it.
Yep.
And that was pretty funny. I had another woman that had called in on one of our shows, and she had just seen a Bigfoot. She stopped the car right in the middle of the road and dialed in, and she just seen the Bigfoot. And a little while later, while she was on the phone, she seen it again, only this time it had a infant with it. It was running across the road, right in the middle of the show. I mean, things like that can
happen. I've seen them do it.
I don't know how it is in some of these other guys' areas that are, you know, what type of foliage they have, but in our area, we are slowly figuring out that a lot of the birthing areas, they're always around water, which is understandable, but we're also finding there's usually cedar trees around close by, and I think what they're doing is they're using the smell of the cedar tree to help mask their smell when they're hiding.
They do. They sure do. I got a place out here in Arizona where they're living down in the middle of the cedar tree.
No, they love them. They will give birth in a cedar in a minute.
Yep,
we have found evidence of that.
Yep,
Doyle just had
a
drop off
down like that.
They got a flood storm and livestock gone drowned. So he had to take off. Yeah, he's got to save his stock.
Yeah.
He got a big storm over there, evidently. Sorry. I just want to let you know that's why Doyle wasn't in there. Gosh, you know what? There's so many things there's so many questions that get raised when you go out and you look at these things. And I know TJ's, you know, when you're out in the field right there, you know, I've never been out right in the field right there. What I've done is look at the aftermath of the reports and pictures of what they had, right? But when you're right there and you see that stuff, it certainly is amazing that some of the things that you pick up, even a footprint, even the tree formation, layers, wow, so many different things, tree twists, just so many things. They all have puzzles. What do they mean? You know, what do they mean?
Yeah.
And
it all helps. I mean, every little bit of data we can get our hands on helps build a better understanding of these things, of how they move, how they eat, how they react to their environment. You know, it's for some reason, science, it's just me and TJ discussed this, until you drag one out in the middle of town square and put people's nose in it, they're not going to say, okay, yeah, we know they're there. It just ain't going to happen. And the
you know
only
what?
Way
we're
going to get this
data. Even if you did that, the people would look at it at a real one right there and say, oh, that's not true. People that do that, they just have it indelibly marked in their mind that it can't be true. And they leave no opening for a glint of glimmer to shine through it and change their opinion. It's unfortunate because in the scientific community has left us dry, high and dry for many years. Even when they get involved in it, they screw it up. You know what I mean?
I mean, we can learn so much.
They don't recognize any of the data that we have, empirical data. Scientific is, you know, science, everybody says science is this thing that takes facts. There's nothing factual about science. Every single thing about
science
is theory.
That's why it's not.
You know what I mean?
I know people have been put in prison their entire life and even executed on less evidence than what people like us have to show that these things exist.
Yeah. I know. Yes. I mean, it's amazing. Now, you've had some sightings. Roger, you've had all your experiences that you've had. Come on and talk to us about that. Tell us something.
Well, if
you got any questions to ask Roger, you just go right ahead and ask him, okay?
Absolutely.
Doyle had to get off, Leo had to go to training. So both Leo and Doyle had to jump off the circuit. Rocky, you're our pillar. Poor old TJ's probably holding his head with both hands.
Well, I don't know. I guess I would be the one that's the killer, you know, with that experience I had back in 87. I mean, that thing, it had us at its command. We could not go anywhere. We was in that, like a boxed-in area, you know.
Was that one way in, one way out. Yeah, was that a juvenile?
No, it was not a juvenile. Not the one that came head-on at us. One was a female, And the one that was right in the entrance where you come in and out, that one was a juvenile.
Uh-huh. But
the main one that come at us was he stood over 9 foot tall, and his shoulders were about 4 foot across. He was a big one.
Wow.
And
goodness,
I'll tell you, you know, with my military training and stuff, I think it kicked in, and I'm glad it did, because if it didn't, we wouldn't be here talking about it right now. You know?
I understand, yeah. Well,
and,
really amazing, there's all of different kinds of things that you went through. And I'm not talking about Bigfoot things. I'm talking about social things.
Let me tell you, so many people that called me crazy. They said, "Oh well, looky here comes Bigfoot. Does something smell funny around here?" You know, and they just ridiculed me to the point where I had to leave town. You know.
Well, I understand. They also came out and tried to arrest
you. You know what
right?
The funny thing is? Now I'm a hero in that town.
Oh, really?
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Gosh.
I know
during the time when that was happening.
The help of Tom Biscardi and me, with his help, we got that town put on the map. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you know, they had so many things that they went and being proud of it now instead of hiding it, you know?
Making money.
And, I go to that town. I can't buy my own meals. Nothing, you know? Everybody's, let me buy that for you. But come on, have dinner with us, you know? And I tell you, it's just like when I came back from Vietnam, you know? Everybody hated me, called me a baby killer, and things of that nature. And now, in our society today, they're shaking my hand and saying, "Thank you so much for your service." You know?
Yep, that's good. Guys, I'm sorry, we got about 2 minutes, about another 2 minutes left before the end. I didn't even know we went that fast. Maybe
we got about 2 minutes, but a lot can happen in 2 minutes, my brother. You know?
Well, when we get one of these things going here, it gets really, really, I mean, you get involved in it. And it's hard to get pull yourself out of it to look at reality things here, like time. What I'd like to do is thank each and every one of you for coming on tonight and sharing your experience. And I'd like to have...
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think next week, take a look and see what we can get. But when we have somebody on here, or a couple people on here with an experience or something, it would be nice to be able to question them or get questions, just from us, but from other people like you guys.
And TJ, let me tell you something, brother. You get better.
And, let's all do a good one for TJ. Hope to heck you got a couple prayers from me, my friend.
You betcha.
You are a steadfast, strong, god dang son of a gun. Thank you. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Roger.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rocky. Rocky, you're the pillar of old Marco Bill, I'm telling you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on, Marco. A pleasure to be on.
Good night, everybody.
Absolutely.
Keep it big fun alive.
God bless.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night now. Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.